we begin the hour by welcoming into the program gentleman who hosted every episode 278 hours of Mythbusters on the Discovery Channel, host of the spinoff Mythbusters Jr., has his own website, tested.com, and is now the author of a wonderful book entitled Every Tool's a Hammer, Life is What You Make It. We're thrilled to have Adam Savage joining us. Adam, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for that lovely introduction.
The book is so entertaining and interesting and useful, and I love a phrase early in the book you say, a healthy obsession is the gravity that binds us to the things we make.
Yeah, I was looking for some physics analogies that would help me think about and process and talk about making, and that one really hit me hard when I wrote it down, the idea of physics being a universal force that draws us towards making. But it's so true, and it's one of the things I'm finding is resonating with a lot of makers of every stripe when they read this.
And when it comes to making, often the hardest part is getting started, and that's one of the things that you focus on. You've got to jump into it and then worry about things as you go along.
Absolutely. There's a famous quote from Goethe where he says that boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. And then whatever you can think you want to begin, you should begin it today. And I've written this book as a permission slip for everyone who reads it to do exactly that, because there's never going to be a perfect workbench, a perfect outline for the thing you want to start writing. The trick is just to get started and try and build momentum towards the goal that you have.
I also was very excited to see a chapter on lists as a compulsive list maker. I love that you said that lists are not external to the creative process. Can you explain that?
Well, look, whether you're writing them down or you're keeping them in your head, everything that we decide to execute on includes a list. For me, I can keep a short list in my head, and I say short, I mean like four items or so. But as soon as it gets bigger than that, in order for me to understand what I'm working on, I need to physically write it down. And it has given me so much expansive ability to tackle larger and larger projects that I figured an entire chapter on list making and a second chapter on the checkboxes at the left side of every list item was totally necessary.
And I agree completely. I love that part of it. An important part of the book, too, is being able to step back and witness how you work.
Well, there's a Buddhist tenet about watching the watcher. And that ability to watch yourself while you work, to notice your proclivities, one, to improve yourself, to improve your working process, to see the obstacles you hit on a regular basis. But two, to refine your working environment and your process to better suit you. So I'm always, when I'm in my shop working, I'm always taking note of the paths I trod to get tools that I want, of the ways in which how I place tools might help or hinder my working process. And that watching the watcher has really, really radically improved my ability to adjust my workspace to fit my needs.
Now, another thing that you've talked about in the book a lot is, the usefulness of deadlines in sort of forcing the creative process for you, and even those self-imposed deadlines, is that become easier for you to create those the deadlines for yourself, or is that still something you work on?
No. So I've been lucky enough to do what I do both professionally and personally, and have a lot of crossover in the types of projects I do in both of those realms. But a lot of people might have a job that's not necessarily feeding them creatively, but they go and they want to do things at home. They want to write or make clothes or play the guitar or write a song. And when you don't have a parameter on the creation that you're doing, it can just keep on extending out into the distance. And I've had projects that took me more than a decade and a half to finish because I didn't have a point at which I needed them finished by. And as long as I don't have that, I just sit there belaboring every single decision. Well, could I get a little better part? Could I make this out of aluminum? So what, you know, I start obsessing over every tiny detail. And when I impose, so one of those costumes was Kane's spacesuit from the movie Alien that I spent 14 years replicating. And finally, in 2014, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to say I have this ready for Comic-Con in July in San Diego, and that will get me to finish it. And another phrase I use in the book is, deadlines lop branches off your decision tree. They force you to look at every step you're taking and ask, is this directed towards the essence of the project or is it ancillary? And that is a phenomenal question to keep asking yourself.
We're talking with Adam Savage on Downtown. His new book is called Every Tool's a Hammer. I love the section, I think it was with Andrew Stanton from Pixar, talking about the fact that you need to give yourself permission to make mistakes and what that can do for the culture.
Well, and not only Andy's, the interview I did with Andy is so wonderful because he's so inculcated in the ethos of the way that Pixar makes movies, in which he describes that they've institutionalized the process of changing the path of the film when it becomes necessary. So they write a movie at the beginning and they start making it, but the movie changes as they make it. They find new roads, new narrative lines, new characters, new ways of telling the story. And the trick is to follow that. Those aren't mistakes. That is the creative process taking you on a journey. We don't, when we set out to paint a painting or make a film, we conceive of an idea, but what we execute is never that idea. That's actually why we do it. If we knew what we were making, it wouldn't be interesting. The journey that we go on is the whole point. And the thing that's wonderful about listening to Andy talk about Pixar's process is that they've built that and baked that process right into the whole company. They'll look at a film 3/4 of the way done and realize radical changes are needed, and then they will implement those changes in service of the plot. That's, if we called them something other than mistakes, it would be very good for us culturally because they're just iterations of creativity.
It, building on that, that the culture that you're talking about, one of the points you make in, early in the book is that humans are sort of built to collaborate, but that seems a little counter to the great American myth of the self-made man. Pixar has done a great job of encouraging that collaboration, but how do you see the other people getting past that?
I totally, you're absolutely right. America has the myth of the singular creator, of the genius at the center. And I have met some of these. I have been lucky enough to meet and spend time with a few of those, but I'm here to tell you that they're not one in a million. They're one in 100 million. These are very rare individuals. The rest of us, all the rest of us, which is all of humanity, we have to collaborate. We work within a community. And I spent a long time in my early, in my late teens and my early 20s kind of waiting to figure out how I might end up being a singular creator. And it's just a waste of freaking time and energy. I have learned over the years that I'm a born collaborator, and I love wheeling people into my projects. I love jumping into other people's projects.
Adam, you have opened up my eyes to glue. I know so much more about it now.
It's a the entire chapter I wrote on glue is a really funny one because I went back and forth. I was like, am I going to talk about the physics of glue? I got to call a chemist. And then I thought, well, I don't know if I want to do a comprehensive thing on glue because there's some glues I positively hate. And that's when I realized, oh, you know what? I'm just going to tell you the 8 glues that I use and why. And if that helps, that's great. If it doesn't, you may disagree with some of the things I say. That's also great.
Yeah, I wish I'd read that about, you know, 20, 25 years ago. Stuff around my house would have been glued a lot better. Now, using the old cliche of being stranded on a desert island, if you're stranded on a desert island, what's the one glue you absolutely have to have?
Oh, that's a really good question. Okay, presuming that I could store it in perpetuity and that it would always be useful to me on a deserted island, it might be epoxy for the specific reason that I could use it both to glue things together with great strength, but I could also use it along with the plant materials on the deserted island to make really rigid and rigid and larger structures using the epoxy.
I like that a lot. The last section of the book I found especially valuable as someone who's not particularly handy, but I think this can apply as much of the book can to everything we do in life, whatever we're building, and it's the idea of organization, see everything, reach everything.
Well, and again, this is a deeply personal book, and this is I'm explicating the process that has worked for me. And everybody has a different process, and some people may prefer to work out of a messier shop than I do, and that's totally valid. But for me, my shop being clean and the tools that I need being within my reach is really paramount for me. And the reason is because I like to work intuitively. So if I'm at the bench and I've got a thing that I'm sanding, but I need to cut something in it, I want a blade within arm's length of me. And that way I don't have to stop and think, okay, where are the blades? Let me go over to the drawer of the blades and get a blade and put it in a handle and put it in a thing and head back to my workbench. When I do that, I lose my momentum. So for me, all the creative stuff that I do has, again, this is another one of the physics analogies, has a momentum to it. And my goal is to keep that hoop spinning by hitting it with the stick. And for me, the stick is all of the tools I need within arm's reach without having to move anything out of the way. And I call that philosophy first order retrievability.
Along with the new book, you've got a new series that's coming soon. Can you tell us a little bit about Savage Builds?
Oh, yeah. It comes up on June 12th on the Science Channel right after BattleBots, one of my favorite shows in the world. And Savage Builds is an absurd engineering show with I have a different collaborator or collaborators in every single episode. Everyone from the queen of crappy robots, Simone Yatch, and my friend Laura Kampf, to Jet Propulsion Labs, Adam Steltzner. Gary Oldman shows up in one of the episodes. And in the very first episode, I, along with the Colorado School of Mines Engineering School, constructed a suit of Iron Man armor out of 3D printed titanium.
I love it. I can't wait.
Oh, my gosh. We had so much fun. We built a working ZF-1 from the Fifth Element. We replicated a World War II munition called a Panjandrum. Tori Belleche, my old co-host from Mythbusters, came on an episode, and we enjoyed a food fight with a minimum distance of 100 feet. Things got messy.
Well, you have inspired a couple of generations of people to go out there and get creative. How often do you run into someone in your travels who said, I know you told us not to try this at home, but I did it anyway?
That precise phrase gets spoken to me probably two or three times a day, every single day of my waking life. I am very gratified that I have not yet ever seen a news story in which someone harmed themselves doing something that we did on Mythbusters. So I like to believe that education was the only result, not injury.
The book is terrific. It's called Every Tool's a Hammer, Life is What You Make It. If you're listening to us for some reason out in the Seattle area, go see Adam tonight at 7 o'clock at Lake Forest Park. Adam, it's been a real treat. Thank you so much for joining us. We wish you great success with the book and with the new show as well.
Thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Adam Savage with us on Downtown. Every Tool's a Hammer, Life is What You Make It.